If you think about the average consumer of chocolate, you know, when you buy chocolate, what are you buying it for? And it's usually, it falls in two major categories. One is for personal consumption, and two is for gifting. And so if you're buying it for your own personal consumption, you're likely to going to continue to buy the things that you enjoy and that you like, because you're buying it for your own personal use.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, why is the price of chocolate so damn high? Is it all Trump's fault? Is it the government's fault? Who is behind this? Our good friend Carl Gould is with us now. You find him at carlgould.com. Link is in the show notes. Questions, comments, just shoot me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. Carl, welcome back. So the price of chocolate, man, if you're a chocoholic like me, you noticed it keeps going up, 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 and away.
Well, and if you're looking for somebody to blame, you can blame that El Nino weather pattern, which is putting a strain on agriculture in West Africa, specifically the production of cocoa, which is a main commodity and ingredient in the finished chocolate product. So the climate change, or call it weather patterns or cyclical weather patterns, or putting a real strain on farmers' ability to manufacture and harvest cocoa.
All right. So wherever the climate change is coming from, that's irrelevant. We know it's here and it's having an effect. But Carl, you know the best cure, you know what the best cure for high prices is?
High prices.
Yeah. They're just like the best cure for low prices, low prices. So yep. Demand is going to be cut down. You know, you get the candy bars that you and I had as a kid, and they have very little chocolate left in them. I'm talking like the Baby Ruth bars, the Butterfinger, the Raisinets, man. They used to have real chocolate. Now it's got just some kind of paba butter or some garbage like that. But it really, hey, if they want to cut back on chocolate consumption, keep lowering the quality, and that'll work wonders, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about the average consumer of chocolate, you know, when you buy chocolate, what are you buying it for? And it's usually, it falls in two major categories. One is for personal consumption, and two is for gifting. And so if you're buying it for your own personal consumption, you're likely to going to continue to buy the things that you enjoy and that you like, because you're buying it for your own personal use. But how often do you buy chocolate and then it goes into the candy bowl on the counter, or you give it as a gift to somebody else? When it comes to that, you're going to start to see, you know, people not buying name brand, buying the store-bought brand, buying in bulk. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what economists call the law of substitution. When steak gets too high, you substitute chicken. When chicken gets too high, you substitute Spam. And then when that gets too high, I guess you use ketchup and make tomato soup, right?
Something like that, pretty much. Well, when you have a product like this, and it's a discretionary purchase in almost all cases.
For me, not discretionary for me. I'm addicted to this stuff.
It is an absolute staple in your diet, and it's a required purchase.
Yes.
But you're going to have to be very careful. Another. Well, there you go, right? So for you, not an option, right? So chocolate companies ought to be talking to you directly, because that's where it's at. And so, yeah, you're going to see continued prices being reasonably high, especially in the States, because there are policies in place now that require United States chocolate manufacturers to use U.S. sourced ingredients, you know, some sugars and some other ingredients. And so because it is more expensive to produce that here in the States, the cost of chocolate is always going to be a little higher here in the U.S. So if you're buying and it's a little bit more expensive, you at least know that you're supporting an American business.
Yeah, involuntarily so, but
correct.
But what does it add? Maybe, you know, a nickel to the cost of a candy bar? Right.
Well, it could be. It'll vary depending on the size and weight of each one. But yeah, and is it enough that it's going to make you stop making the purchase? I don't think so. You know, when you know, we've all done this. When we want a piece of chocolate, we are getting a piece of chocolate. I'm not so sure we're looking at the price all that much. And if something is $2.99 instead of $2.79, I think we're still buying it.
You know, interestingly enough, I'm doing my internet search, which I should have done before. Chocolate is a highly regulated substance. Different countries require different amounts. Like in the U.S., for something to be labeled as chocolate, it must have a minimum of 10% cocoa in it. But in Canada, it's 25% for milk chocolate. And in Europe, it's 35%. So you're always better off getting the European chocolate anyway.
You know, now you have a new reason to go to those duty-free shops. And when you're in the airport, you go grab that Neuhaus chocolates or the Godiva or one of the other, you know, brands that you'll be able to buy at the airport. And yeah, load up because there'll be a lot more cocoa in it.
So what's really funny is they now regulate white chocolate starting in 2002. And it has to have, it's not really chocolate, white chocolate, but it has cocoa butter. And in the U.S., it's got to have 20% cocoa butter. And the whole world's regulating chocolate because of the rising costs, Carl. Businesses seek to lower their costs. And how do they do it? They cut back. So
right.
Obviously,
they're going,
why
yeah.
These rules came into effect.
Well, they're going to have to get more creative in the ingredients and in the taste that they provide. Because at the end of the day, you're producing a product that delivers a certain experience, right? A taste experience, a packaging experience, you know, and an eating experience. You know, they say that you eat with your eyes first and your stomach second, right? So the as long as the other elements of the experience are there, that plays into how much some people are going to enjoy it, you know. Okay. And so if you're any business and you have to deliver a similar experience with less resources, you get creative, and that's what we're seeing here.
Hey, so, you know, they say, Carl, that eating chocolate makes you feel like you're in love. So people are doing it for that reason, man. They don't care about the price, right?
Look, in most cases, that is exactly right. Especially if you're buying it for yourself or somebody and it's a special gift, you're going to buy no matter what the price. Where you're going to see people spend less is around the holidays, Easter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to buy more candy, but they're going to go for the bulk purchase. They're going to go for the store brand as opposed to the name brand. You know, they're going to chip in with somebody else. And instead of me buying my M&Ms and you buying your M&Ms, we're going to get together and buy the economy pack. Those are the sorts of things that are going to start happening because people are going to have to budget how much they spend on what is gifting.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, like this is a huge industry too, chocolate, tens of billions of dollars. Back in 2016, it was $28 billion a year. And, you know, it's going higher, I guess, as population increases. But again, the prices get too high, you know, somebody will eat Jolly Ranchers instead, right? I wouldn't think Ranchers as being a substitute, but who knows? Maybe it can be.
To draw a parallel, you saw this in Major League Baseball. When the Yankees and the Mets and the Los Angeles Dodgers and all these teams started charging outrageous prices to pay their players more, what started to happen was the minor leagues got more and more popular, and it spawned other leagues. Same thing with the NFL and now, you know, the XFL and the USFL. When a price of something gets out of reach, it creates room for another category. So what you're likely to see is the chocolate will, if the prices continue to rise, it'll create its own category and another category will slide in below it. Be that economy, be that some sort of economy or value type product.
Hey, so, you know, and that is so true. Like, look at how much it costs to go to Disney, right? You don't think families are picking other options? Like, hey,
correct.
cost
that's 10%
to go camping, you know, of what a Disney vacation will set you back, and credit card debt, all that figures into this, right?
You take this. Disney's a great example. Disney and the other parks get more expensive. So what happens? It spawns an entire industry called the Family Entertainment Center. And they're local. They're in your, they're within a 20 to 30 minute drive of your location. They're 1/10 of the size, but they're also 1/10 the price. And so that's an entire industry that was spawned because the amusement industry got too expensive. And now it's a destination. It's not necessarily you go and do every single year.
Yep. Yep. So somehow with everything that happens, the economy figures out a way to continue on. It's human behavior, right? People are going to adapt to higher prices. Look, when the price of gasoline spiked in the 70s, and I remember this vividly, what happened? People didn't drive as much on the weekends. They carpooled. You got these carpool lanes. And then the cars got smaller, arguably. That introduced other risk factors into it all. But when you get down to it, hey, what happened? You know, it just people adapted and costs came down. So, you know, that when you always hear people crying about higher price of this, higher price of that, generally, if the government keeps its hands off the out of the off the scale, prices are going to adapt. And, you know, what more fair way is there to allocate a good than cost?
Yeah, I mean, you if you hear the story of a successful entrepreneur and they tell you why they got into the business, why they did it, and what drew them to that industry is that they saw a problem, they saw a need that they could fulfill or a problem that they can fix. And in this particular case, someone's going to say, you know, the chocolate just got too expensive. I saw a hole in the industry that I wanted to fill. And so I came out with this ABC product. And here we are now with this new business that's very innovative and very entrepreneurial. You're absolutely right. The free market system will take care of it. It might be a temporary inconvenience that the prices are high, but entrepreneurs are going to step in and they're going to create a product that'll fill that price level.
Yeah, exactly. Could not agree with you more. Hey, Carl, we find you still at carlgould.com.
Best way to find me.
All right. If you've got a question for Carl or myself, email kl@carrylutz.com. We'll get you an answer real quick. The link to Carl's site is in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Go there, sign up for your free newsletter. Carl, always a pleasure. Thank you and be well.
Thanks, Kerry. Enjoy that chocolate.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.